Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
University Wrestling, home of the Fighting Welches and Mancinis.
That's right.
And calling in from the frozen north of Wisconsin, Ben Funky Askren. Benjamin, hello. How are you? You watched the Super Bowl for the first time in how many years?
I don't know. It's been a really, really long time. My kids are Taylor Swift fans now, and my wife's from Kansas City, so they wanted to put it on.
Let me be the first to congratulate the Kansas City Chiefs and their lifelong fans, such as Caleb Piles.
Piles, he loves it. He is Chiefs Kingdom right now. He's very pumped. Him, Carter Bray, I don't know who's a bigger bandwagon fan, Caleb Piles or Carter Bray, but it's a pretty close contest.
What is Carter's baseball?
Amy Askren actually watched zero plays this year and then calls herself a fan, so she's in the running also.
I think if you're from the area, you can represent.
You have
it.
City pride.
Yeah, exactly. wait, what was your question, James?
What is Carter's baseball?
Astros. But originally, his first Little League team was the Oakland A's. Was the A's, so he decided to like the A's, which is maybe the worst sports franchise in America. So he quit.
Why?
Just because that was his Little League team name, so he's like, I guess I'll like the A's. And then Caleb.
No, you said they're the worst in baseball. Are they just not good at baseball? I don't know. I don't watch baseball.
They're really bad, and they don't try. They, like, trade away all their good players.
And they're leaving Oakland.
which seems like a fine place. And then, so anyways, they were terrible. So then I think Caleb influenced him to be an Astros fan as well, so. That's true mentorship. We also have someone I'm attempting to mentor on a daily basis.
I'll never let you.
I'm trying.
I'll never let you.
And I'm failing to mentor Tyler Meisinger. Tyler is, he had the audacity. He texted me yesterday, am I on the show tomorrow?
Oh my God.
I had already told him last week.
You're going to bring this up?
I already had told him last week. Yeah, hey, Ollie's out Thursday and Monday. I need you on the show. And he's, okay, yeah, cool. All right, fine. So then Sunday, he's like, hey, am I on the show? I'm like, yeah. He's like, are we going to talk about Michigan versus Nebraska?
He didn't want to make the walk. He didn't want to make the walk.
How would we – one, friendship never started. Two, how are we never going to talk – how would we not talk about Michigan versus Nebraska? It's a horrible – I mean, it's not even possible.
I told you the consequences.
All right. You're going to fight us?
Hands on site after this show.
All right. We'll see. See, first it was on the show. Now it's off the show. So we'll see. But we don't have to start there. Let's drag it out. Let's make him wait before he has to speak for Big Blue. Because Iowa versus Penn State happened. Great performance from Penn State. Dominant 8-2 over the Hawks. Ben Askren, your initial thoughts watching the duel? Well, we lost a lot of stuff there. I don't know where Ben went. But, Ben, are you still there?
Oh.
All right.
We're still live.
I don't know if you're watching live, but all our TVs are cutting off. I can't hear a Ben. I don't know if this is Tyler's attempt to sabotage.
It is.
Saboteur.
Well, it's working.
Okay, I'll give my initial thoughts.
Let's go to JD.
Mastermind of wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Penn State dominated the scoreboard, but I thought Iowa wrestled two expectations.
Yeah.
Hey, am I back?
Hey, Ben.
He's back.
I think you're back.
All right, where did I get cut off?
We didn't hear you utter a single word about the
duel. What? I went through the whole thing. I said, I can't. I was going about for a while and you didn't respond. And I'm like, what happened? So
we'll do it again. It'll be better this time.
Iowa gave up riding time in 7 of the matches. It kind of started out as a competitive duel.
I guess I didn't realize that.
Yeah, and 7 of the matches, and they couldn't get off bottom. In certain matches, it was almost like they were incompetent on bottom, like they just couldn't do the things necessary. Obviously, Nagao Schriever was one of those that was really bad. Truex Riggins, he never got away. Brooks got ride time. Kirkley got ride time. Starocki got ride time. Mitchell got ride time. They were not getting off bottom.
Levi was the worst.
You're right. How did I miss that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Can I counter that with you would expect all those dudes to maybe get riding time except Levi and Mitchell.
Actually, like, I would have guessed, like, Brooks. I mean, the Brooks match actually is totally shocking to me because he chose not to shoot a takedown. But I would have said he would have kind of done some catch and release and tried to get rack up the points to a major or a tech fall.
Yeah, that was – I'll really agree with
– that's why – that's kind of what I was saying. And, like, yes, Penn State did dominate, but
yeah,
to expectations. And, like, I don't think Penn State exceeded expectations.
Well, I think they did. I think I mean, listen to our predictions. I think we thought – we did not think. And also, I'll mention – hold on.
Well, for the record, Christian, we did an over-under 2.5, and JD and I got that one right.
Okay. Yes, you did. But as we could rerun the tape, and as we talked about each match, no one was expecting a 12-0 for Haynes. I think we thought Caliendo Messenbrink was going to be more competitive. I don't think we saw Bo winning by that margin, right?
No.
So I don't know. I think it was below expectations or above expectations, depending on which team you're rooting for. I thought it was I thought Penn State performed really well. 49 is kind of the really – I think that's the brightest spot for Iowa, Ratchy beating. Yeah. I mean, that match looked over too. When that went into overtime, just the way it was trending, you're like, all right.
Yes.
Ratchy's not winning this. But then he freaking got it. He looked good. And I think we may have alluded, like, this is maybe more of a match than people are giving it credit for. But,
yes,
man, I thought Drake got the takedown in the first, 30 seconds? Mm-hmm. And I feel like he didn't try to score at any point. I thought he was just on his knee for a lot of the match and not trying to build there at home surprised me. Nothing surprised me about 33. 41, I think there's something going on with Real with his health.
It's probably safe to say.
I think he's not moving the same. Not taking anything away from Bo. I thought that match would look differently. I didn't think he looked really good. But to me, 57 was the worst Iowa performance I saw, because he got in a couple of times.
It was crazy.
He kept getting in and, like, deep, really nice attacks, and
yes,
could not score. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. That match to me was.
But that wasn't even the. I mean, those were kind of like, I don't know. I think, yeah, he had good attacks and Levi was just able to counter. But then how bad he got crunched on bottom. I mean, Franek's a fifth-year guy or sixth-year guy. I don't think I've ever seen him get worked like that on bottom. And I guess I can't say I've watched every match of his career, but I've watched enough to be very surprised that he just got – Levi just put him on the mat and said, that's it.
Yeah, and he stayed there. And he wasn't
– yes.
It felt like he never was close, right?
Never.
He couldn't even get his hips off the mat to get to the next level, to get to the next thing. That surprised me a lot, because I think – you know, and you picked Franek to at least cover.
I know. You know what? So funny, Christian. I totally was thinking. I texted you guys, and because I was doing really well up to that point, I think I'd got most of them right.
Yeah.
And texted you guys. I thought you picked Franek, and I was like, oh my God, Christian's so stupid. How could he pick Franek? And then I looked at the dog, and I picked Franek. Oh my God. That's so embarrassing.
That is funny. Because I thought you were, I was like, oh, he's picking on himself. He would never do this. And then it turns out you weren't. You were trying to dunk on me, but instead you alleyed it and then you ooped off yourself. It was incredible. Let's talk Mitchell, though, real quick. I mean, we're going to bounce around this duel for a while.
Sure.
What were your thoughts on that performance? Because I thought right away, I was like, all right, this is not what I thought it was going to be. Like, immediately, yeah, I immediately had regret about every prediction I made about that match, like, 1 minute in.
Yeah, it was a great start. And, you know, Caliendo even had some really – there were some great sequences on both parties, you know, where the Mitchell would eventually come on top of it, but Caliendo made some pretty good moves. And there was even some other deep attacks that Mitchell had where he got close-ish to scoring and Caliendo was able to fend them off. So I thought he actually did a good job. And then, you know, in the third period, I think he started – you know what? I went back to watch on Saturday morning, and the stream had deleted Mitchell's match, and then it wasn't on the selected matches on BTN on YouTube, so I couldn't watch it again. Maybe it's up there now. But I think Caliendo maybe started timing his fakes in the third period and getting in on those, because he got in on Mitchell's legs a few times. And then eventually got a takedown, but then Mitchell almost got the reversal at the whistle.
Yeah, and I thought he looked really good overall.
Yeah.
Great sequencing from Mitchell.
Sequencing. Oh, man. Mm-hmm. I meant to play that clip last show. That question. Do you know what we're talking about? The guy asking Kale if they needed to work more on sequencing and work more fakes. Did you not see this?
No. What is this?
Oh, my gosh. It was classic. From last week's media day at Penn State, a reporter asked Kale if they needed to work on their sequencing and their attack rate. All right. Well, we don't have it, so it's just bad radio right now.
Did he roast? Kale probably roasted him.
No, huh? Kale was actually really cool about it. You could tell it was a guy that literally doesn't know anything about wrestling. It was just trying to ask a question. And Kale was like, we would like to do that more, yes. he had a smirk, but he handled it cool.
Okay.
Anyway, enough sequencing.
Yeah, great sequence. Mitchell does a great job at sequencing.
Yes. I got to talk about this locked hands call. Did you see this? The Kennedy Starace? Were you tuned out at that point?
No. I watched it. I did not. I mean, they kind of looked like they hit a little bit, but questionable.
So I rewatched it. Kennedy. So like this is Starace's wrist. We'll pretend.
Yep.
Kennedy grabs right here, and he just kind of like pushes his hand down on top of his Carter's other wrist. And they gave a locked hands. It's interesting. Perhaps they've cracked the code on Carter because he looked powerless to stop this locking hands.
It was a funny challenge.
It was. Yeah,
I thought that Kennedy wrestled him pretty tough.
He did.
You know, he almost had the takedown at the end of the second. Carter did a great job of scrambling and getting his own takedown. Got a stall warning on him. Did he get a stall point? I don't think so. But
he wrestled tougher than I expected. It was a point.
It was a stall point. Okay. Yeah. Definitely tougher than what I expected that match to be, especially when you consider, like, if he gets that takedown versus gives it up, man, it's a big, big flip.
What did Carter do there in that sequence where Kennedy shot? It looked like he was going to pass, but he didn't end up passing off the single. He just wound up. Head outside.
I think he came under and then just hip heisted up, didn't he?
Yeah.
And then it was right on a single leg. Yeah, so I think instead of like rolling all the way through, he got it and then hip heisted it up. And then, you know, Iowa, they do struggle in a lot of those scramble sequences. I don't think they spend a lot of time there. So once that happened, Kennedy was kind of clueless on where to go.
Yeah, it was that was probably the most impressive takedown of the duel.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler, do you have any thoughts on the duel?
Well, some chatters want to know if you actually got to watch it or if you were at a daddy-daughter dance this year.
I was not at a daddy-daughter dance. Mm. That was a cold setup last year from, I think, the Kozak, John Kozak, who, you know what, he'll stop it. He's just trying to get under my skin in any way just because of this ping-pong rivalry we have going right now. And I'm not going to elaborate any further. But last year, it was just like, hey, do you want to do a daddy-daughter dance with the Brazen Kozaks? It's February 19th, whatever. So, sure, yeah, it's a Friday, no problem. And we all realized at the exact same time, like weeks after committing to it, that it was going to be during Penn State, Iowa. And we're like, what are we doing with our lives? So we ended up going, but we had like a big thing. We were smart. So we took them out before. We did some fun stuff before. Then we just did. Yeah, how long can daddies and daughters dance in reality? You know.
Seriously.
So we were there for like an hour. Got home, had a big party at our house. The girls all played. They had a great time, and we got to watch the duel. So it worked.
Oh, so you didn't even miss any of it last year either.
We missed Marco Vespa's shining moment when he got in on. We're like Marco Vespa. Who's Marco Vespa? Why is he on Spencer's leg, and why does he have a cradle locked up? And then I think we saw from like 33 on, so wasn't too bad. It was great.
This year, you told your daughter no.
I didn't say no. I was not asked about it, and maybe I didn't. Did I pursue the daddy daughter dance? No, but it didn't.
I didn't do it.
So
okay.
That's a good question, though. No regrets. It all worked out. Anyway, so that was your thoughts on the duel.
That was my thoughts on the duel. I mean, it's just another – every time we see Penn State wrestle, it's just so impressive, man. It's nuts.
It feels like Bo is now kind of a clear favorite. If Real's healthy or not, sort of immaterial because, well, it's super material.
Well, like, don't give it that much over Mendez. I think Mendez is in there with him. He's the favorite for sure.
Yeah.
And Sergio Lemley.
Come on. I'm not sold on him all the way yet. He's good. His match with Hardy, I'm sure we're going to get to it. That was a fun match. Yeah. That was a lot of fun.
That was fun.
Really, I think at 41, it's still wide open, but I think Bo similarly is – he's a favorite now. And, you know, Real's running out of time to get right also. Yeah,
healthy or whatever he is.
Yes.
Carter.
But it's more wide open, Christian, because you wanted to write everyone off and make it Real's division, a couple months ago.
Absolutely not.
No, gotcha. You did. And then Cole Matthews, he's beating like all the good guys, but then losing to not as good guys.
Yeah. Well, guess what? At NCAAs, it's all good guys. So edge Cole Matthews.
He might have a chance.
Yeah. He's going to be in good shape by that point. Yeah, no, I 41 is – it's going to be a crazy one. And Anthony Etchemendia, he looked really good. He's still – I still don't know what to make of him. I
told you he couldn't counter CKLV match. Sad boy hours.
Sad man.
JD's a big backside matches don't count guy.
Yeah. I think he dropped Happel on his head so hard, I was, like, genuinely concerned. It was insane. Insane. But he looked good. He looked good that match after he's missed some time, and now he's back. But, yeah, 41 is going to be a really fun weight. As good as Bo's looked, everyone's going to be in the matches with him. So I'm not writing it off. But I think that our read on 41 has changed as the years progress, that's for sure.
What do you make of Aaron Brooks deciding not to try any takedowns against Zach Glazier? I think Glazier's a lot better than we thought, but that was still weird.
That's kind of what I was going to end that. Carter and Aaron and Greg, to a degree, have now reached the Spencer Lee realm where if they don't, bonus point guys were like, what's wrong with them?
Or even what's look good on? In bonus.
Yeah, but he didn't even try.
I know.
Yeah, he didn't. But Aaron didn't do the part of the Spencer Lee match where he gets up 12-0 either. He just, it's notable. We'll see if it's a trend or a one-off thing or if it's just Glazier's. I don't think that looked like.
You guys love to ignore that Glazier literally has a win over a national champion this year.
It's crazy. Okay, Caleb, who had not competed in 2 years.
Who won? Who interestingly had the most points when the match was over, which I think is maybe the most notable stat.
I don't know, man.
It still went to overtime, though. No, Glazier's for real. But even listen, Aaron, that first period from Aaron doesn't look like Aaron's first period against. A lot of elite guys like Miles, he goes after him, right? And he didn't.
Yes.
So I think you give credit to Glazier for doing what few can, but let's see how Aaron looks moving forward.
Yeah, I agree. But Glazier, I mean, he's been putting together a really good season. How high is he going to get seated in the Big Tens? Like, is he going to be he can't be the two, can he?
Well, he has the all red win.
That's good. So
who's in the mix at 197 for Big Ten? So you've got Jackson Smith.
Big Ten, we have
obviously
Aaron Brooks, Jackson Smith. It's kind of then Glazier and Allred. It's kind of weak at 197.
So it's going to be sort of like a Jackson versus Glazier semi, Big Ten semi, in all likelihood. So, I mean, he can make the Big Ten finals. I think I would favor Jackson in that, but kind of doubt Glazier at your own demise at this point. But he looks really good. He's a tough guy for sure. And we did not expect that coming into this year.
Did not.
Man, it's interesting. And watching all these duels, except for Penn State, which is just on a different level, like all these teams have such variance in their performances. They've all looked – every team at a certain point has had a down week. Like Michigan looked awesome last week. They get destroyed by Nebraska. Iowa destroys Nebraska. Michigan destroys Iowa. And the only other team where it's like they have But even Oklahoma State did not have a great CKLV, and I know Dayton wasn't there, but even if Dayton had won it, like, I think they'd have been, like, fighting for the top five there. So, all these teams have seems to have major swings this year, which I don't know if that just speaks to wrestling, but it seems more pronounced this year than in previous years. Missouri's had some big ups and big downs as well.
Yeah, it's rude. It is really wild. And I don't know, that kind of makes the case for the dual national title for me, Christian. It was so much fun.
Fun for sure. But
so much fun.
It would be incredible, but it's, yeah, I don't know.
We've hatched that egg enough.
Yeah. How many eggs are we going to hatch?
A dozen.
No mas.
Dozen and a half.
All right. We put it off.
Totally overmatched by Greg Kirkvliet. That was just.
I don't understand this Keeter thing. I know I said he was going to wrestle, but I don't understand the strategy here with using him and not using him. Other than if you're just trying to preserve Bradley Hill's win percentage, which I think is what's happening here. But because I think Hill will go here and then maybe they use Keeter against Doucette. But here's the thing. Why are they saving Keeter's red shirt? Why is if he's the best guy, which he at least seems like the guy with some upside at heavyweight for Iowa. Hill is has the edge for qualification. But what does qualification mean if you know you're not going to score meaningful points? A red shirt with Ben, I mean, this is a guy with NFL aspirations. Who knows? By the time he gets to his fourth or fifth year in college, that's what you're saving the red shirt for. If you redshirt him now, that's because you want to be able to use him in 3, 4, 5 years. He's going to be getting ready. At one of these points, he's going to want to go to the NFL potentially and be getting ready for the combine. And he's not going to be wrestling at Big Tens. He's going to be doing that. So it seems to me like Keeter might be the best option for them, at least the upside option for Iowa. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Hill is just the better guy.
Would you be shocked if you found out that Hill was better?
No.
I wouldn't think I would be either.
But I don't – so my thought is –
I'd be surprised.
Why not – yeah, I'd be a little surprised. I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be Sparks-level shocked. but I don't understand – like, why not send him to a couple opens? Why not use him a little bit there? Let him get some – I know. I hate to use like the little.
Let him beat up on some guys who aren't as good. Get some confidence, and then put him in there.
Yeah, somewhere between the Northwestern duel and Greg Kirkvliet, there's probably a lot of good experience for him, and you can kind of see what you've got. But my point is, if it would make sense to me to put both guys in a position to qualify the weight, that way you can wrestle the best guy come Big Tens. Whereas right now. They're making it so really only Hill is the only guy you can enter at Big Tens because Ben's going to be 2-1, 2-2 going into conferences. So he'll have to steal a spot. Yeah. That's a gamble. So I feel like they could be putting him in a position for a competition because saving him doesn't make sense because in 4 or 5 years, who knows what's even going to be happening with him? Who knows if he's going to wrestle next year? I think he will. I hope he does. But,
Is that your inclination? So you think he's going to be gone?
They have two matches left. Iowa has two matches left before conference.
Wisconsin and
Oklahoma State.
Yeah. And that duel is going to be insane. What was your question?
Is that your inclination? You think he's going to eventually leave wrestling?
It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, he's probably – there's a chance he's, like, starting at linebacker in the next year or two. And if he has a
I was just scrolling YouTube the other day and he did like an Iowa podcast. Yeah. I listened to it a little bit and he didn't say anything specifically, but I found it interesting where he said coming into Iowa, the coaches made it clear that if I eventually chose to do one or the other, there would be no hard feelings.
Yeah.
So I thought like that being talked about, everyone so far publicly has been like, oh yeah, he's all in on both. I just thought it was interesting that he'd said, there's also no hard feelings if I end up picking one.
Yeah, yeah. And
well, you got to say that to get him on.
Yeah, you kind of got to say that.
Yeah, tell him. So that's just my read. I don't understand. I think he could help this team this year potentially.
Smoke him if you got him.
Yes.
Yes.
So that's my
read. Your point, Christian, about going, he is not going to be an auto qualifier
no.
Under any circumstances right now. And – you know, you could have wrestled them at some open tournaments. The hard part is you need to get those Division I matches to be a, you know, to be a qualification thing. I don't know they could have got those, but either way, kind of like regardless of how good you are, you need reps.
Yeah.
Like you can't go from wrestling no matches to being the best form of yourself, period. Like you need to obviously practice, right? And then you get out there, you get some matches because it's a little bit different than the practice room. And you know, you get the reps in and you feel more comfortable, and then boom, then there's the best version of yourself. But the notion that, you know, when was the last time he competed prior to wrestling that dual meet? Like it's probably what, last season?
Yeah.
High school season?
Mm-hmm. So
yeah, it's been a while.
Also get some reps in between high school and then Greg Kirkfleet.
Yeah. So my thought is I think you can get plenty of D1 matches. He would have to go to the East Coast to hit some of these. You go to FNM Open, like, Mattown Open, Edinburgh Open. There's a lot of Opens.
Edinburgh, yeah, sure, some of those.
I mean,
yeah.
And these Opens have a lot of kids in them. It wouldn't – there's plenty of second semester Opens. And then, all right, this guy's got 12 wins now, and he's got some Big Ten wins. And now you have a viable option, two viable options at heavyweight. And one of them you know may not be around for the entirety of his career. Whether he's – is or isn't state, it's for sure not decided what he's going to do. So you know there's a possibility he doesn't do it 4 or 5 years. So you know, so you should be erring on the side of if he's the best guy this year using him. That's my only perspective. But I would have thought they'd use Gabe Arnold this year as well. I think he is one of their best. I think he's their best 74. I think he's their best 84. Mm-hmm. And he didn't even wrestle last week. So I'm just confused.
Hey, is Bradley Hill a for sure auto qualifier?
He's,
I mean, I'm looking through his wrestle stat, and he does not have a lot of good wins.
Well, I think he's gonna get an allocation, which is
he's 11-4 currently. Cole Urbis from Penn is probably his best win on here. He beat the Mizzou backup. Oh no, sorry, he lost to the Mizzou backup. He beat the Iowa State backup. There's not really any other. He lost to the Augsburg kid, like. He doesn't actually have any good wins on here.
No. So, but his win percentage is such that I think he could get an allocation.
Well, 12-4 would be 75%. So yeah. I guess if he beats the Wisconsin kid's not very good, he's 12-4.
There you go.
They can wrestle Keeter against Oklahoma State.
Exactly.
Like you said.
That's what they're doing.
But don't you? I thought you had to have 2 of 3, right? It's the win percentage, it's the RPI, and it's the rank.
I think he would get maybe he would have coaches.
He does not deserve. Go look at his wrestle stat right now. This man does not deserve a ranking. He lost to Mizzou's backup, Seth Nitzel, who is solid, but I don't know that he would be a qualifier.
Yeah.
And I guess Cole Urbis is his other good win, but he doesn't have any others.
Yeah. I mean, you're making my point here. It's like this is what he can do. Yeah. I don't want to belabor it.
And it turns in your
okay
your top recruit into a sacrificial lamb his first year.
Yeah, I mean he's more of a pawn. I mean you're just using him as to preserve. I mean I don't know that's what they're doing. I don't know that's what they're doing. But to swap out Hill and Keeter for Kirkfleet, I don't know. When there's no I'm not saying I know the reasons. I'm saying I don't understand it.
The Big Ten's kind of thin at heavyweight. I'm looking through it right now, and you have number 1, Greg Kirkfleet, number 6, Lucas Davison. Feldman is all the way up to number 9, which is – that's kind of wild to me, but go Nick Feldman. He's been doing a good job. Big Slav at 10, okay? But then Luffman's at 11, but he hasn't wrestled in forever. I don't think we've seen him at all second semester.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next guy after that is – Ben Keeter, like, he's at 28. That is a thin weight class as far as the Big Ten is concerned. Very thin.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, how many auto qualifier spots is that?
I mean, it sounds like 3 or 4.
Seriously? Has there been a Big Ten weight class that's had that few auto qualifier spots?
Not in a long time. I don't think so. I'm just going off the rip. But
let's see. Luffman is 8-3, so he's not going to even qualify for a spot.
An allocation.
An allocation.
Yep. So, yeah, big
dang, that's crazy.
So.
Why?
And, of course, you can't do the thing, you know, you only get the allocation if you enter that guy. So if Bradley Hill is a guy who would earn an allocation, but you wrestle Ben Keeter, then that allocation goes back into the field. So,
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
So you can't, like, have one guy earn a spot and then swap him out.
So that's why getting your backups matches is so important.
Yes.
Yes.
So that's why it makes sense for them to wrestle Ben Keeter.
Add some switching opens. In. Well, no, but he would need some opens because he needs to get to 15.
Yeah.
Bennett Tabor's got a 78% win percentage right now, and he is he's probably tough. Maybe get a spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I tried to switch it up, but now
we love talking about the Big Ten heavyweight division. Christian Piles, do not take us off this. We love the big boys. We like the heavy Chevys.
We do. That I told y'all. Caleb asked if every heavyweight's a heavy Chevy. Now I heard you say that. He's like, is Bradley Hill a heavy Chevy? Like, no, probably not.
Man, I was watching football last night, like I told you, and I saw this one offensive lineman. I thought that's a heavy Chevy. That man, I don't know how much he weighs, but he looks flipping gigantic.
Some of those guys are big. So Chiefs had number 69 in the Chiefs was huge too. Big boy.
I think that's who it was. Yeah. He was like, he was abnormally large even for the offensive linemen.
Yeah. He's big. I think he's defense, but doesn't matter. Big boy.
The craziest thing about those guys is like they're all standing next to giant people too. So you don't realize how giant they are until they stand next to someone like Christian and then you're like, wow, that's a big guy.
Yeah.
That's why when we call people huge in wrestling, like, oh, Greg Kirkley, he's a monster human being. It's like, well, he weighs about 245.
Yeah.
Which is tiny.
He's like a safety.
And yes, which is tiny.
I'm clipping JD saying 245, tiny.
Small. Perfect.
He actually looks like, I mean, when you look at those two wrestle, because those two just wrestled last Friday, you look at Kirkfleet and Ben Keeter next to each other, and you told me just, hey, one of these guys maybe could go play in the NFL. I'm thinking Greg Kirkfleet because he looks gigantic compared to Ben Keeter.
He did.
He's big.
Really?
I think they said Keeter weighed in at 220. Yeah.
229 to 245.
Yeah. He better be fast if he's going to play in the NFL at 229.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to get bigger. I think
you see a lot of these guys.
Like a, he still looks like a boy. That.
Yeah.
All right.
Not yet a man.
What if we postpone the duel you're going to try to talk about now to talk about Tanner Sloan over Stephen Buchanan real quick?
Stephen Buchanan looks hurt. He does look hurt.
Does he? I watched
the
The
way he was moving his right leg. If you watch very closely, watch the way he moves his right leg, and it definitely looks like there's some issues there.
Oh, okay.
Him and Sloan got into it.
He hitting the stanky leg or something?
It looks stank-free.
No,
it was really strange the way – you could tell he kind of was, like, favoring it the way he was moving, and he wasn't doing any penetrations to the right – his right side. I think it was his right side.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let's talk Michigan.
All right, fine, Michigan. No, let's talk about something else.
Yeah.
You two are in.
I like that idea.
This is pathetic.
No, I'm all in on this because
it's pathetic.
Some people are saying, a lot of people are saying, I would never say it, but the Tavel effect in Lincoln.
Ooh.
Oh, because he's from Kearney?
That's right.
So funny.
Took a loper to set that program on the right path.
Yeah. They'd really been. Goodness.
And they'd really been down,
Want to give Tyler the floor. Speak on it.
Man.
Oh, Tyler.
Geez. You guys, I don't want it to seem like I don't like Nebraska.
It seems that way.
I made a video about Nebraska. They were the best team no one was talking about last year. I think they're a great team.
Wow.
My dad is from Nebraska. I have a lot of love for the state of Nebraska and the school too, sure. As a Michigan alumni, I had to turn that duel off at a certain point.
You turned your back on your brothers?
Yeah, I won't say which weight I turned it off at, but it was just, dude, it was hard. Yeah, it
57.
Sucked.
65. Is Cam's his boy.
I could have been too.
Yeah.
All right, well.
Let me talk about it.
Yeah.
It was rough. If you're a Michigan fan, you know, you could see them losing the first one, but then – when Van D beats Ragusan and Ragusan's been having a great season, you're like, what is happening right now? And that was kind of, I feel like right then and there, you knew it was over. It wasn't Michigan's night. And then, but it just kept snowballing. I think what they won the first six matches.
Yep. Yes. And then Shane beat Bubba Wilson 1-0.
Yeah.
Which is, man, it doesn't feel like momentum should be a thing in wrestling, but it just totally is.
It totally is.
I don't know.
What do you mean? It's a momentum with like,
it sure helped. It sure helped Jared Franek after the big wretch. It's like, no, it's whoever.
I think there's a little bit of momentum, and I think it affects certain athletes maybe more than others. But then also, you know, I think probably more impactful is, hey, they're, you know, they had a bunch of guys get sick, right? Because when one guy gets sick on the team, they're all together. They're a bunch of them are going to get sick, right? Or they had a really hard training cycle, and they, or you know, they kind of peak for this duel. And I know that seems kind of silly, but I guarantee you, some of the coaches are grinding them a little hard over. You know, they get that winter break where they don't start school again until like January 20 or whatever it is. And some of the coaches do the 2 days still and grind them out. And maybe they had a few bad performances. And now they, boom, take a little bit of time and relax and then pop back up.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you just generally see I don't even know if it's sickness. I just think it's like where they are in the periodization or training or whatever. Like it can – when the – margins are close, like the whole team being off, it just throws it off. I don't think it was, yes. I like
this Chatters theory. They said Nebraska was stealing Michigan's signs, and I think that's
well, we know Michigan is a cheating institution.
Well, I don't, that, Jay, that's crazy for you to say.
That is kind of crazy.
Proven.
Proven schmoven, bro.
Well, so
why their coach abandoned them.
Hey, Hardy Lemley was a lot of fun. Great match. You guys should go watch that. If you haven't watched it, go watch that one. Man, it was just really back and forth, a bunch of reversals, you know, all the way down to – it really was like 10-9, and then Hardy got a takedown with a couple seconds left.
Try to throw.
Lemley just set one. Yeah, but that was – man, that was a really good match.
I felt like after the first Hardy takedown, which I think is how the match started – it felt like Sergio was in control. But then every time it felt like Sergio was going to get it back, Hardy would do something or get a reversal or get a takedown and kind of take control back. But I actually thought that was one of Michigan's better performances on the evening. Even though they lost the match, I was like, man, I thought Sergio wrestled really hard. Hardy is so tricky. He's got a lot of just – he's got a unique
feel. He's not a good matchup for a true freshman.
As you've talked about, Ben. And – I thought he gave really good effort, whereas at 149, he sent Errant a throw that just – I know he likes throws, but holy cow.
What's going on the throw? It's his bottom.
Well, I'm starting at the beginning, and this is the first time I've talked about it.
You can't move on to 149 without letting me talk about 141, one of Michigan's better matches, which, as you said.
Okay, fine.
No, I wanted to say, like, Sergio – he beats Real Woods, right? And you wonder, as he's a freshman, sometimes freshmen have these like crazy peaks and then they come back down. I think his performance against Hardy kind of proves like he's at that level. Yeah. Even though he lost, I was excited as a Michigan fan like to see that he was wrestling well. And he's a guy who – Hardy is so tough on top, and Sergio obviously threatens reversals really strongly. Yes. Like I think it's I'm really impressed with him. I'm excited.
Now, do you feel like you have to kiss up to the Lemley family because your senior year of college, you pinned Sergio's brother to qualify for NCAAs?
That's a real thing?
That's a real thing. He pinned Diego Lemley to qualify for NCAAs, so now he feels like he's got to really kind of butter up the Lemleys.
Where did he wrestle? I don't know. I didn't know
Indiana.
Brother.
Oh. No, I don't. No, shut up.
Now he's all. I'm gonna bring it. Listen, now it's gonna be great because Sergio Lemley is gonna be a thing for like 4 or 5 years. So we're gonna be just talking. Yeah. I'm just gonna bring that up all the time. And what?
I felt the same way as Tyler though. When Brock Hardy got that early takedown, he is so good on top. I thought, oh, he's gonna ride him for a really long time here. And he ran a little bit, but Lemley got out in kind of a what I would say is a timely fashion. I was impressed that he was able to get off bottom, and then he got off bottom multiple more times within the match.
Yeah, I remember when it seemed sort of apparent Michigan was not just using him for redshirt, you know, the five rule, but he was going to be the guy. I was like, why? Like, give him a year. He is way more ready than I would have guessed. Great yeah. performance there. 49, Ridge Lovett dominated. Dominated.
Seriously, it looked great.
None of us saw that coming. We thought.
Yeah.
I even said
I want him to win. Wow. I even said that. I want this. I like this guy. I want him to win. But given how their last match looked, I just couldn't envision it. And, man, when he got on top, he just rode him like a donkey.
The thing for me, too, was Austin had no answer for the legs. He just based out pretty much the entire time. It was like he was clueless, which as a sixth-year guy, like,
at least
you got to be able to defend legs.
Yeah. What did he need to do, Ben? Coach Ben? How'd he get the...
Well, I mean, he didn't even try. If you just hold your base, you're not going to get anyone off you. And surely you're not going to get Ridge Lovett off you. So, you know, I don't know. I guess if he would have maybe held the first, just kind of held his base and it was 3-0 after the first period, I could kind of see that as a strategy and then choose neutral or something. But when you get turned multiple times, it's like, well, oh, you're going to have to get out at some point here. Like, you got to try something. Do you want to sit down there on your base or do you want to get going?
Is this a write-off match for you where you're like, Gomez is not going to be able to, A, win this weight, or B, beat Ridge?
I wouldn't say write-off. I could see a scenario when Gomez wins if he, say, he hits a big throw. And then, you know, but you see it being very, very hard after the standpoint. Ridge, let's see, who have we not seen Ridge against? I think he's beaten everyone now, right?
He kind of has. I mean, he had a super close one against Henson at Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, who's number two?
He had a decision against Ratchie,
I feel like
he's
beaten all these guys.
Yeah, he's – who else is in the mix at 40? He hasn't wrestled Arrington, has he? Well,
Parco, Arrington, Lamer, Gomez, Swiderski are one through seven.
Well, Arrington and Swiderski were all at Vegas. I don't know if he wrestled them or not.
Swiderski was not at Vegas, right?
Yeah, he was.
He was?
Yes.
I'll pull it up.
Yeah. So, no, I think if you're a Ridge Lovett fan, you're feeling very comfortable at his chances. Hey, let's move on to 157. I got some things to say.
There's
about
so much
one.
To talk man. About.
Before we move on, I want to say I hate how they called when Ridge had legs in and, like, flattened Gomez out or where they based out. One time they went stalling on top, one time they went stalling on bottom, and one time they went stalemate.
Good.
Same position.
Yeah, I hate it. Well, be consistent.
Yeah, like, I don't think it's – necessarily stalling top or bottom, I would probably go stalemate. That's kind of the definition of stalemate.
Yes,
neither guy can advance. But if you're going to call it at least stalling, then it's stalling. Nothing changed. Like, you just don't want to keep
digging
the guy.
It's the same person. The same person is guilty, you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah, if nothing's yes. changing yeah.
no,
about
No, but
it.
I agree. I think stalemate is a snare there. There was actually a snare that was very similar in the Plot versus Feldkamp match. I don't know if you guys saw that a few weeks back where he had his legs all tangled up like a super – we call it a super Turk.
Mm-hmm.
And they let him stay there for, like, forever. It was like a minute and a half, I feel like. And it's like, dude, just call a stalemate. Neither guy's progressing. The bottom guy clearly can't move. He's stuck. His legs are tangled up. So this is – he's not stalling. This is a stalemate. Call it a stalemate and then move on.
Yeah. The super Turk stalemate.
I think you guys should clarify the choices in the second and third period.
Yeah, so I think on the broadcast it may have been said that Gomez chose bottom, but it was Ridge that took top, and then Gomez took neutral in the third. But this yes. also, this confused
oh,
me.
I figured that
well.
Was obvious.
Yeah.
I thought that was obvious too, but not to Christian.
The other
when we watched it in real time, for some reason I thought Gomez took bottom. I don't remember off the top of my head, but it –
That would
back
be like
and
the worst choice
this
ever. He got ridden and turned.
I know. That's why I was like, what is going on? But, yeah, you can clearly see the ref signal to Ridge.
I think the broadcasters may have said it, but they're not there. They're broadcasting remotely, so they can't see the calls or whatever. Yeah. But anyway, I don't know what happened there. But, yeah, Ridge took top, which was smart. And Gomez took neutral, which was smart. And, yeah, Gomez
didn't get
the major. What?
My ADHD is kicking in. You know how sometimes we crap on the announcers? We don't like, you know, they like throw these college kids in there and we make fun of them. I watched Oklahoma and South Dakota State for the Sloan and Buchanan match.
Yeah.
It was some old Okie, and he was awesome. I was digging it. I was cracking up. He was saying some really funny things, but he pretty much knew his wrestling for the most part.
Isn't it Jack Spates?
So great. I don't know.
Jack Spates always calls the matches.
Well, then he knew what he was talking about, well, like I said.
Well, he coached Oklahoma for like 20 years. I dare say he may know wrestling.
I flipped it on. I don't know who it was. I told you he did a good job, and he knew what he was talking about.
Yeah. Well, I like him. I think who is it? I think it's J. Carl Guyman and Hardell Moore. I think call for Oklahoma State. They do a good job.
Oh, yeah, Hardell does a good job.
They're really good.
Mm-hmm.
But yes. Anyway. Okay.
I have more people like that. Oh, Will Luan and Peyton Robb. Okay, so
I feel like
there's actually a lot to talk about. If Will Luan does not reattack, so if you're not a dummy, you just kind of should just keep taking shots and pushing forward, and he's going to get called for stalling because he doesn't do anything. And so this is a great strategy by Peyton Robb to get a stall point. Now, that being said, when he's losing and he's actually forced to attack, he actually does kind of have some stuff. I just don't know why he doesn't use his stuff ever. It is like the most puzzling thing ever. And it's like, Will Luan, like, dude, this is your last year wrestling. If there's any year to send it, like, freaking go out there and wrestle. Why are you standing around the whole time? It's perplexing. Like, you actually have some moves. Go use your damn moves.
Yeah.
You got an argument for that?
I mean, I think all his sins have been sent. He's out of sins.
No. No, he is not. No. He actually hasn't even started. He has this unused bag of sins over here, all of them.
He hasn't used any.
He never does it. It's unused. He has had this box of unused go-for-its.
Go-for-its. Well, I think he's saving them for Big Tens and NCAAs.
Well, I hope so. I mean, because, you know, there's nothing more I don't want to be getting sentimental on here on the show, but – listen, you're going to be done with wrestling someday, and you're going to wish I went for it. I freaking did all I could do to do my best, and then you're going to say, damn, I just effing stood around for 4 years and stared at someone until it went to overtime. That is not a good – you're not going to feel good about that. You are not going to feel good. You want to say, listen, I tried my hardest, and I just couldn't freaking beat Chris Pendleton because he was good. That's what you want to say. That's how you feel good about something. You don't feel good if you stood around and you had all these moves in your back pocket and you never tried them.
At the end of your wrestling career, you want to be able to get a tattoo that says no regrets, and you want to mean it.
Yes, but legitimately you do. You want to actually feel like I did what I could do. I really did what I could do.
Yeah. What did you think about the non-takedown call at the end?
Ooh, I kind of thought that was a takedown.
So he sent it, and look what happened.
Well, he actually got close to a takedown because he actually tried to do a takedown.
Facts.
That's what happens when you try takedowns. Sometimes you get them.
I kind of agreed with the call. I feel like you got to get over the leg there. You're get behind or step over. But it is weird when you're kind of just like laying on your side, because that feels like it's a weird position. On the one hand, it seems like you should be able to clear it, but on the other hand, I don't know. It's almost like a jiu-jitsu type of like.
Yeah. Feel. I didn't feel like 100% it was a takedown. I would lean that way, but I didn't really feel passionately in either direction.
I didn't think it was a takedown, but I thought it was close.
Yeah.
Very close.
So the neutral danger. Tyler, you can give him this message. I said freaking go for it. Let's do this. You got 2 months left or less, Will Luan. Go freaking wrestle.
I'm going to stay out of this conversation.
Did Will Luan ever reattack you?
Yeah, of course.
He reattacked you?
No, probably. He didn't. He doesn't know a reattack. Nope, doesn't know a reattack. I don't believe you, Tyler.
Sounds like Ben was at the practices.
I don't believe it. Surely we would have seen it happen at least one time.
Hey,
speaking on 157 and officiating, we didn't talk about it in the Iowa-Penn State talk. The potentially dangerous when Levi was coming around on Franek, and he had, I think, ankle. Did he have ankle?
Ankle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. And Franek's knee kind of came out a little bit.
That was bad.
Do you think that's potentially dangerous?
No.
I don't think so either.
I don't think these referees really pay attention. But people, it's almost never. I don't want to say never. It's once in a while. But it's almost never that people's knees get hurt going to the outside, right? So, like, I'm running around on a single leg. And, you know, I start scooping out the leg and the knee bends to the outside. Guys never get hurt there. Like, it is so rare that people get hurt there. Like, but they stop it all the time. It's so freaking dumb. And I do feel like they are allowing it to happen more now than in previous years, but it should be able to happen even more.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised by it. Sometimes I think you see those calls in one-sided matches a little bit more. They're like, all right, this guy's already got the match at hand. We don't need an injury. But I thought that it looked like an innocuous position to me in that Jared was safe there.
Like, that's a wrestling position.
Yeah.
Like, you just, if that's potentially dangerous, what about wrestling isn't potentially dangerous?
Yeah, exactly. I agree. And even like where Mitchell put himself, that they called him potentially dangerous, like, let him wrestle. He put himself there.
And he put himself there. That's at least Jared did not put himself there. But Mitchell put himself in that goofy position.
Yeah, let him wrestle.
Don't bail him out there. Yeah.
And honestly, I know you feel like it's like, don't bail him out. And I was calling that it was the Peyton Mocko versus Arizona State. And, you know, Peyton Mocko does some things. And he did something. And the ref called potentially dangerous. And Zeke Jones threw a fit. And I literally said on the broadcast, I don't know why Zeke Jones is throwing a fit right now, because if the referee lets that continue, Peyton is going to score a takedown 100% of the time. And then sure enough, the dude did the same thing two more times, and Peyton scored a takedown both times, and the ref decided not to call it potentially dangerous. So I don't think it's bailing Mitchell out, because I think it probably would have been fine, because he's tricky and he can wrestle in a lot of positions. But they should let them wrestle.
Yeah. Does Mitchell's match – and I know I'm not going to give it – you get – the full answer from Ben here. But does Mitchell's win against Caliendo make you feel like, all right, he's going to win the Big Tens? Like, Hamady and the other guys he hasn't faced, like, aren't going to be enough?
Yeah. I mean, the two tough tests for him to this point, I think Hamady and Carr are both pretty tough tests. I actually think he kind of gets Oleznik. I don't want to say for sure. And I don't know. I think he can wear Ramirez out too, because Ramirez does get tired as matches go on. Carr and Hamady are the two that are, you know, Hamidi's really, you know, I know he's lost to Oleznik, but he is kind of tricky to wrestle. So I guess I'm curious to see that one. And then Carr is obviously Carr, who's really, really elite.
Super elite. He's also, I mean, he majored Caliendo this year. So comparatively, David was more dominant than Mitchell in that matchup. Yeah. So yeah, he looks fantastic. I mean, Penn State as a whole looked really good. Okay. Man, Cam Amin's looking like a fringe qualifier right now. It's going to be tough for him to get in there, because he's missed a lot of time and he's having a hard time. He's still like probably like 80% of like what he's been. So he's like in all these matches, but he can't quite get it. I don't know.
He's 8-5 this year.
Because part of me is like, don't worry about Michigan, but I'm a little worried about Cam getting there.
Yes.
It's not the best we've seen him at.
No.
Previously.
No. Okay.
But the Big Ten is probably going to get a lot of spots at that weight class. We talked about them not having a lot of spots. You know, if you look 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 11, all Big Ten, and they have, you know, then you got Antrell Taylor, Mayfield will probably get a spot.
Yeah.
You know, they're probably going to get
10
spots here. Lillard, Stoney Buell. They're going to get a lot of spots.
So that's good for Cam. And for all we know, he'll be
if I can qualify out of Big Tens at 165, I think Cam Amin will have no problem.
That's a good point.
Stoney Buell should get in on name alone.
Great. Yeah, actually, I feel like he just beat someone kind of good.
He's solid.
Yeah, I can't recall, but you're right.
I think Cam, I don't know. This is obviously, I'm not impartial to this at all, but Cam... Ben has said it before on the show, too. He usually shows up in the postseason. So.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, that is true.
Is dyeing your hair blonde part of the mourning process?
No.
Name's Iowa.
I showed up. JD thought I was wrestling for Iowa State.
Yeah, Iowa State dyed their hair blonde. Did you see this?
Solidarity.
Ben? He was like, oh, you did what Iowa State did. I was like, no, they did what I do.
That's right. That's you were the first person to ever
dye my hair blonde. Yeah, I've been saying this.
He was. He's the original.
No, that's like every little Bush League school in Wisconsin dyes their hair.
That's nationwide.
Actually,
what are you talking about?
That's nationwide.
Yes, Virginia. There's a bunch of schools that do it.
I did not bleach my hair until after I was done wrestling.
Okay, wow.
I had to zag on him. As Trey Robinson would say.
Yeah, you definitely zagged. That's a big, like, postseason high school wrestling team thing.
Okay.
Which is why
definitely
I think
happens in Wisconsin.
Yeah. Did you ever dye your hair blonde? You ever dyed your hair?
I've never dyed my hair in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, same here.
Which is why it's tremendous. Iowa State was like, nah, we're doing it a month early.
We're doing it a month early. Let's just dye our hair blonde.
That's what's well, up. Well, JD, I don't know if you know this, but the Iowa State tournament, in fact, is this week.
It's
so
true.
Maybe it was, you know, because of that.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Big State tournament. Okay. Do we want to talk about anything in that duel? Do we want to do some questions? Where do you want to go, Ben?
Yeah, probably down with Michigan and Nebraska. I think we go to questions. We've kind of been ignoring
them. Did you
want to
talk about who's taking second this year?
Well, I think it's an interesting topic because I've never seen it this wide open with this many potential
teams.
So
wide open.
And I think there's teams that could get second that could also get 10th.
I think,
yeah,
it's pretty obvious. Obviously, a lock for Michigan. No, I'm
right. That's obvious.
I was going to say the variance is insane because, like, Mizzou was a clear second place just a few weeks ago in the rankings, you know, and now they're all the way down to 9th.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Probably went down because he lost to Spratly. You guys put him all the way down to number 8. I don't know. Mako probably got out of the top 8. So,
yeah.
You know, a few like that, and you just all of a sudden drop like a rock.
Yeah, Rocky. I don't know if you mentioned Rocky, but he.
Who did he lose to?
Did he not lose? No, he got.
Rocky's.
No, he lost to someone.
Eight. Rocky, yeah, I think he did lose.
Cardenas.
Yeah, Cardenas.
Oh, yeah, he did. That was dumb.
Yeah.
So is the question who's got the horses? Who's got the top couple dogs that are surefire top three?
That's how I kind of look at it. Like, who's got the most semifinalists out of these teams? Like, Oklahoma State is ranked number 2 right now, but I feel like they have 2 semifinalists with Dayton and Platt. And everyone else, I think, is going to be in the round of 12, win or lose, battling back to place or not.
You don't feel that strong about Olenek, excuse me?
In the semis?
No.
I don't feel strongly.
Maybe.
Well, you went from semis to round of 12.
Huh?
You went from semis to round of 12.
Well, you're either in the semis or you wrestle in the round of 12.
Okay, true. I thought you meant finishing round of 12.
So, I mean, if you're in that round, anything can happen. But, well, he lost to, I mean, who did he lose to this year?
Yeah. I mean, he's not going to be because he's gonna be behind Carr and Keegan at Big 12s because they're at the same conference. So, the chance he gets the top 4 seed is unlikely. You know, so it's probably going to be probably like, you know, Keegan, Carr, 1-2 likely, and then, you know, Big Ten winner is probably going to be 3.
He also lost to Peyton Hall.
That's right. Hall beat him.
Oh, yeah, he also lost to Peyton Hall. So the Big Ten is Big 12 is actually really deep at this weight class. And then, you know, Ramirez will likely win EIWAs, but he has a few losses. He lost to Olesnik. So, but I guess he could sneak in a little higher because he has beaten Carr.
Yes, that's my thought, is that...
Yeah, and if Mitchell wins the Big Tens, then it makes it kind of easier to seed because he's undefeated, and you could put him at either a 2 or a 3, and that's no problem.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be... I think Olenek will need to avoid Keegan and Carr and Mitchell probably to make the semi. So now you have a pretty narrow path there. So
yeah,
I guess he could be top 4, top 5.
Yeah,
but
and I don't think there's a guarantee that he beats Caliendo. I don't think there's a guarantee. He did beat Hamidi at the All-Star. Caliendo, Hamidi, Ramirez. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if any of those guys beat him.
And Hall already has. So.
Yep.
And Hall already has. Yeah.
So, you know, what are the teams with a lot of top 4, top 3 kind of guys? There's not that many of them. NC State, they have Trent. And maybe you could say Arrington. I think Arrington's ranked 4th.
Oh, I don't know.
You don't feel
one.
Great about
if we're
him,
saying like guarantee?
Yeah,
guarantee
I'm not.
Top 4s? Nah.
No way. No way.
What about
There's
this?
There's no way on Arrington.
Sorry. You guys want to still talk about NC State?
No.
What about this? What are the odds Iowa State outplaces Iowa at the national tournament?
It could happen.
Right now, Iowa State has 55.5 points, and Iowa has 57.5 in our rankings.
It could happen. So
who are the locks? So I feel like Younger's like a top 3 lock. Like, he's been looking great.
Carr.
Carr is a top three type guy for sure. Those two, but then who else? I mean, Swiderski's been having a good year. Echmendia, I could see him getting in there.
Chittum actually just lost to Ryder Downey.
Yeah. That's not great.
No, yeah. But there's nothing but flawed lineups here. I think what the benefit Oklahoma State has is I feel like they've got a lot of guys that can place. Spratley, Jameson, Teague Travis is all-American contender. No doubt in my mind. Yeah. Olenek's obviously a contender to place. I think Braden Thompson is someone you can't count out come NCAAs. And then Plott, obviously, is really good. He got really tough in that Berge match. That was a great match. And then Serber's back. We'll see. I think 196.
He is? I didn't see it. He wrestled against South Dakota State?
Yeah. Sloan beat him.
Oh, I didn't see that.
But he looked all right.
Dude, Seth's going to score you at least a couple points.
It's heavyweight. He could be seventh or eighth.
Yeah, but the problem, guys, remember, is that if you're not a bonus or, you know, top 12 is like 2 points, mm-hmm. you know, so if you win in the first round, win in the second round and you lose in the round of 12 and you lose in the quarters in the round of 12, you get 2 points. Like it's definitely undervalued. And that's the logic problem I have with the NCAA scoring.
So Nebraska is currently ranked 11th, but
that's an interesting one.
I feel good about Ridge.
They're 11th. What?
That's what they were.
Yeah, they are ranked 11th.
This is pre-Michigan.
What are your rankings doing?
I don't do these. Bro, but look at this. You got Ridge, Pinto, Caleb Smith's ranked pretty high. I mean, you can't get Peyton Robb got a win.
Brock Hardy.
And Silas Allred.
Yeah.
That's a lot of guys. Angel Taylor will qualify, you know. Bubba Wilson probably qualify.
I didn't realize Pinto was ranked as high as third now.
Yeah, he's. I mean, 184 is not the deepest weight.
It's kind of thin.
It's kind of thin. I can't wait to watch him versus Truex. That's gonna be fascinating to me. He is.
Oh yeah, that's this weekend.
Yes, Friday. He's so powerful.
He is. His underhook is crazy.
Crazy strong. So I think Nebraska is interesting. Sorry, I did that little doc earlier. Cornell, kind of interesting. Vito. It depends on what Meyer Shapiro is. Right, Meyer is ranked like what, 10th, like 8th, something, not super high right now. But I think if Meyer made the semis, I don't think anyone's shocked there. At least I'm not. Julian has beaten David Carr this year.
David Carr.
I wouldn't expect him to make the semis either, kind of like an Olenek type of deal. But then they have Foca also, who is someone I think could place high, although he's been not what I thought this year. And then they have.
But he's been better recently.
He lost to Columbia like last week.
And then he did worse.
Wait, what?
Yes.
Zeroff.
Did I miss this?
Evidently.
Because he did come back.
Wait, does Zeroff just have his number? Because he lost to Zeroff earlier this year.
Yes.
What? Zeroff just has his number because Zeroff is – he's solid, but he's not great. He's 11-9 this year.
He's a Zeroff and two against the zero off.
Yeah, I mean, if he didn't have the two focal ones, he'd be 9-9.
You forced that too hard.
I have no shame.
That's wild. Parker beat this man 25-5, a football score.
Yeah, well, Parker's been doing that.
He's kind of good.
Michigan. Gomez. At the time of writing.
Right, let's stop playing this game. Let's stop playing this game. We played this game too long.
You're crazy if you don't think Michigan.
Ben hates looking into this because he's just like, oh, they're just going to wrestle.
Really? The second he brings up Michigan, you want to shut him down? That's crazy of you, Ben.
That is crazy.
Did you just see them get beat so bad, Tyler?
Then the week before that, they beat Iowa, who we all just talked about getting second.
I don't think you're wrong. I just feel like we could just are we gonna do this every team? All right, let's do it again. Iowa. Iowa. Who are you gonna get in Iowa? Ayala, Real Woods, Kellyanne O'Franek.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like a second place team.
Not currently.
Here's a question, kind of back to you, what you asked, Tyler. If you're Iowa State, would you rather lose the duel and outplace Iowa at NCAAs? Or would you rather win the duel but finish behind Iowa at NCAAs?
I think if you trophy, then you want the tournament win. But if you don't trophy, it's doesn't matter. I don't think
If you're both top 10, if you're like 8 and 9, then you want the duel win.
Yeah.
But I agree completely. And the thing that sucks is now there's only top 3 with the trophy, too.
Yeah.
That's dumb. We're actually presenting the fourth place trophy.
Seth Mendoza is going to make the fourth place trophy, and it's going to be cooler than the actual NCAA trophies.
Wait. Oh, Christian Piles, I just realized when you said that you sent some spies to my house.
Oh, no.
And you knocked this down. I had some good sticky tape on
Listen.
It. Like, why didn't it work?
Well,
you did this.
I didn't realize that till you said it.
Because Ozzy, I asked Ozzy and I are tight. And I
Who's Ozzy?
Ozzy's his son. Ozzy okay. Man Strong Boy.
You don't Sorry, I can't believe you.
How dare you not know all of Ben's children you've ever met?
You want to hear what Ozzy's logic was for? I took him to the regionals with him and Andy to the regionals with me. On we're watching high school stuff.
Cool.
And he goes, "What if a football player came in here and beats up the wrestlers?" I'm like, Ozzy, the football player, they can't fight. They can't fight. They're, wrestlers are way better fighters. He said, "No." I said, "If they get in a fight, the football player's got a helmet on, so the wrestler couldn't punch him and hurt him because they got the helmet on."
Good point.
And I just thought, oh my goodness, that's actually pretty good logic because you couldn't punch someone with the helmet on.
It's tremendous. In Kearney, they have minor league hockey, and most of these kids I found out are like 16, 17, 18. Maybe the older ones are 19 or 20. Mm-hmm. But they let them fight, but they have to keep their helmet on. And they still fight. But they're just punching each other in the helmet. I'm serious.
For real?
It's hilarious.
I didn't realize
until... Or you hurt your hand.
I know. They don't care.
I didn't realize until recently that fighting is just like a super acceptable part of hockey.
Yeah.
I mean, it might sound completely ridiculous, but I mean, I didn't know that.
Big sports guy, Tyler.
I didn't know that even in like minor leagues, like it's just like, you sit out for 3 minutes. Like you don't even get ejected from the game. You can throw fists and you just sit out for a little bit.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of
They know hockey's
sick.
Really boring, so they got to let them fight. I went to a couple, we have a minor league team, the Admirals, and they, that was like the only exciting part, like twice a game, someone's going to throw down and that's the fun part.
Tyler, they have people on the roster, NHL rosters, and their whole job, they're called enforcers, is basically just a fight.
For real?
Yeah. Goon.
Did you guys watch
it's kind of a dime position.
There's a documentary. What's that series?
Untold.
30 for 30.
Untold. They did the Danbury Trashers, I think is what they were called. This crazy minor league team that like built up a cult following because they just like fought constantly.
That's what's up.
It's really cool. And it was basically owned by like the mob.
Yes, it was funded
by
Tracy.
That's good.
Very good documentary.
Went to prison.
and
then the team died.
You can fight in hockey, but you know what you can't do is a Walls of Jericho. And we had one of those.
Chittum.
Chittum hit the Walls of Jericho on Ryder Downey. Did you see this, Ben?
I did not see it. Can someone show this clip?
No. But
did he break his back? If he broke his back, then how did he lose the match?
God is my witness.
He kind of did. Downey took entry time and got a point for technical violation.
I Googled.
Technical violation.
The
Walls of
Jericho.
Jericho
is illegal?
But you didn't break his back.
Under what rule is it illegal?
So
cite me the statute.
That is maybe a good point. I'm sure there is probably a picture in the
brace debate.
I'm not a big professional wrestling guy, so I Googled Walls of Jericho and it just pulled up the actual Walls of Jericho. So I'm struggling with finding
Walls
a visual
of Jericho,
reference
WWE.
Here.
Or Boston Crab. You could look
Boston
them both up.
Boston Crab. That was the original name.
That's the original. Okay. I don't know.
Oh wow, he did this?
Yes.
I think you should demonstrate on Christian, JD.
You know what happened to me? You know how inflexible I am? I would just snap.
That's true.
I don't actually think that's in the rule book. I would like you guys to find the rule, which that is illegal.
You can't do the Walls of Jericho.
Let me look.
Potentially dangerous. I think you can say potentially dangerous.
I'm going to look here in the
complete. I don't know that you can find where this is illegal. That is not a rules book.
You got Christian reading. He never does that.
That's 100% true. I'm going to see if it's in here. If it's not in, if the Walls
of
Jericho.
That's like a wrestling rule. Well, original submission grappling, the whole point would be to submit them. So, like, or a camel clutch, you need to sit on their back and crank them a little bit. That's like the whole point.
This book's from 1962. It may predate the existence of the Boston Crab.
No way. I'm telling you, the Boston Crab's old, man. That's how you made the people quit.
All right.
Broke their back. Made them humble.
I'll find it.
That's an ancient rule book.
This, huh?
So why do you have
that's not even a rule book.
No, but it would say.
But yeah, you're right.
It's the complete. It's not the partial book of high school wrestling. It's the complete book. Okay, so it's not just going to have moves. It's going to have, like, what you can and can't do. That's why. That's what makes it complete.
Fair enough.
Yeah, it is fair enough.
Maybe we should. Maybe not. We should do questions. Sorry for taking us down that road, Ben.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Ask a question, Tyler. You pose them because I can't see them.
I have not started reading them yet.
Wow.
Ben, do you
all right, I got one for you. This is a wild one. You're going to love this, Christian. Uh-oh. Over, under, 19.5 NCAA titles before Cale retires.
How many?
19.5.
Over, under.
So will he get
19.5.
20?
19.5.
Over.
He's at 10. Well, at this point, you're just asking how long does Cale want to coach.
He's still pretty young.
Yeah.
That's why I'm taking over.
He could coach for like 30 more years if he really wanted to.
Yeah. So he has to get 10 more. He basically has one this year and next year. It's now 8. I think probably over.
How many does Gable have?
I think.
I'll look it up.
Maybe. Maybe that's
around
there.
He's around that.
All right. Second question. Could Kasich have a season like Shane Van Ness last year, take a couple lumps during the year, but turn on NCAAs?
I don't want to rule it out. I wouldn't predict it.
But hold on, Christian. Didn't Shane Van Ness more have a season where he didn't really wrestle anyone, so we were kind of curious the whole time?
No, he took some losses.
Okay.
He didn't have a top 20 win all year.
Well, that's what I was saying. I think it was one of those where we were like kind of curious.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. 24-7 last year, so you're definitely right on this. Lost to Pinheiro, lost to Austin Gomez, lost to Murin, lost to Sasso, and then at Big Tens only. Oh, he lost to Murin twice at Big Tens. I forgot that.
Yeah. So I don't know. I for me, Kasich starting the year is not the guy. High school. Shane had an extra year of preparation.
Yep.
Kasich is not a 49-pounder. He wrestled at 41 this year. I think that's his ideal weight class if he was competing.
Yep.
I think that's an obstacle. So I wouldn't rule it out, but Shane didn't lose to a Ratchy type last year, you know?
Yeah, that is true.
So I'm saying no, people. But I would not rule out a lower All-American placement for Tyler, but I think getting third at NCAAs is gonna be, it'd be really tough because that means – he's had to beat someone. But I don't think this – is this weight as good as 149 was last year? I would say no.
Bro, that's – I'm looking at these pictures, JD. This is not an illegal hold. That is not in the rule book.
I'm going to find the rule book.
Next. Should be potentially dangerous, not illegal hold.
I want y'all to take
the I'm trying to screen record it, but I can't on my phone. But
okay. So I got two questions here from the audience. Both kind of the same-ish. So I'm going to have you answer both of them, guys. Ayala didn't wrestle after the first takedown. When you wrestle with the knee down and both hands on the mat, are you doing the opposite of wrestling and are attempting to keep your opponent from wrestling? Is there any reason these should not be considered stalling? And then the second question from another Iowa not hater would be, with the recent struggles of Real Woods, does Iowa not have a national champion for 3 years? Can Ayala stall his way to a title?
No, and... yeah, I mean, I think I would say it is more likely than not that Iowa doesn't have an NCAA champion this year.
Yeah, I think that's pretty likely there.
And Drake has shown he's capable, though. Like, pretty much anybody at 125 is. You're tossing his name in the hat.
If he was scoring a lot in these matches, but I don't think he's going to be able to win with a
bunch of close matches.
One takedown type of thing. If he was firing, like, he had his pass by, but it was nice. I like Drake. I'm really, really high on him. I do think he can win a title, but I think so many others can as well.
I do feel like he should get called for stalling, though, in the Braden Davis match. I felt like they could have dinged him. Or I think they did ding him eventually, but maybe earlier.
Well, like, if you hit a knee in freestyle, it's like auto-passive. Like, they basically hit you immediately.
You need to get up.
And he was able to hang out there a lot. A lot. But I also say, at the same time, I feel like Braden didn't force the issue enough. Like, he wasn't able Now, you could say the counter to that counter is like, well, it's not open because this guy's on a knee. But I feel like Braden could have – if Braden had been more assertive and more aggressive and – fired a little more, he could have got the calls coming earlier, and then maybe that opens up Drake, and then you have an opening to score. But
Ben, you're wrestling a guy that has a knee down, you going straight to front head. What are you doing?
Yeah, we actually actually with a few of the groups I've been working with, we've been doing a ton of this because it's kind of a common defense. I guess it may be more common, not necessarily what Drake was doing, but you know, when you fake and then someone drops to both knees, like that's kind of a common thing that's happening now. So we've been spending a decent amount of time working on that position. So yeah, I mean, yeah, I like for ahead. We do a lot of mantis where, you know, you're over both arms, not with the chin, with a lot of our other guys. But there's kind of a handful of tactics. You know, and the one thing that Drake is good when someone's on their knee at the slide by, he also does the slide by off of his knee. So he's kind of tricky, like if you go to a collar with him. So you probably have to look for some other opportunities.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were watching that match together Friday night, and you left it kind of being like, maybe Braden isn't the better guy, but you kind of maybe said that. I don't remember exactly what you said, but
I could see him getting that match at Big Tens or NCAAs for sure.
Yeah, you leave that going, Braden can win, but at the same time, I was like, well, when I do think Drake did stall the second half of the match, but when he actually wanted to wrestle, when they both were trying to wrestle, I was like, Drake went and got the takedown, and Braden never really came close, so.
Yeah. I'm interested to see if Braden can get in on a leg, if he can finish on him. I think it's, yeah, I don't know. I think there will be more openings next time. I think he probably learned a lot from that. Not going to get hit in a pass by again, I wouldn't think. And then have more of a match.
But sometimes you just get lazy with that. You call or tie by instinct, and next thing you know, your hands are on the mat.
Yeah. Ben?
Hey, I got a real serious question, though. Because I'm coming for episode 1000. I'm coming on Wednesday. An actual cannibal just asked a question. He said, what steps are you guys taking to keep yourselves from falling victim to the serial murderer currently roaming the streets of Austin? How worried about the serial murderer should I be?
I don't think there is one.
Well, it looks like he just outed himself on Twitter. He's an actual cannibal.
We've been trying to track this guy down, and we cannot track him down.
I have no desire.
I'm not too – I would love – the thrill of the hunt would be great.
Christian has been going by himself to Rainy Street often, just taunting this man.
Yeah, it's just a good – yeah.
So much to the detriment of his relationships with his wife and children.
It's okay, though. I'm trying – when I'm on a case, I'm like McNulty.
He keeps saying –
that's all I think about.
He keeps saying, I am darkness around the office. I'm not really sure what that's all about.
Just the thing I'm saying. Yeah, it'll all right. Will be revealed in time. I'm not worried about it. I don't think it's confirmed it's a serial killer. I think people are just getting drunk and falling in the river.
That is correct.
That's my current theory.
It's definitely possible. Last question. Tanner Huffman, it is in the YouTube chat. And I think I know the answer. I'm curious what you guys say. In every other sport, coaches get torched for underachieving teams. Why isn't FRL or Flo in general more critical of wrestling coaches?
Well,
they're too sensitive. They get real mad and then they say, we don't want to deal with you. And so we got to, you know, play nice. Right.
You also,
am I right or wrong?
Yeah. We also have access to we know personally a lot of these guys. They become sort of friends and you don't want to publicly bash on them too much. Whereas a lot of times in more popular sports, you don't have a personal relationship with these coaches. Yeah. And if you see you don't see beat reporters who gain personal relationships really bashing people they've become close to.
I was thinking about this the other day though, because I know I give Iowa a hard time for underdeveloping, which I stand by that statement fully. But man, I was thinking about some of these other teams suck. They suck so bad and we never talk about how bad they suck. So I don't know. Maybe we should go off on people more.
Yeah. I mean, I get that. There, I mean, there's a level of candor that you don't find much in wrestling media, and it is tough. I mean, I think it's a hard question to answer because there's examples that I would give, and you'd be like, "Oh my gosh, I get it." But basically, I'll just say you end up for things you didn't say or didn't do. You'll have coaches, athletes, whatever, threaten. Over things that are not even untrue or sometimes not even said. There's coaches where there's issues based on things that didn't actually even happen. So it makes it tough, but I think we bring a level of candor here that's close to
relatively high.
Yeah. As high as we can as high as we can go, but it's tough.
You know, I mean, maybe we should, though, because I feel like there should be more turnover in Division I game when I'm thinking about, like, I was thinking the other day about how bad some of these teams are. Like, dude, they suck. Like, you coaches can't – I'm not even picking on anyone because there's kind of a handful that fit in this guy. You coaches can't be coaching. Like, you got to be half-assed in your job so bad for your guys to be that terrible at wrestling. Like, they're bad.
Yeah.
And the college coaching at this point, you know, it's kind of a funny place because these teams are not making money for their athletic departments, but these jobs are kind of good. Like, they're well-paid. They are in a very good position. They're well-respected. Like, it's kind of a really good job. And so why don't we have more turnover and give more people opportunity? Because if you're not good and you're not fielding a competitive team – let's put someone else in there that maybe can at least try. Hey, if they can't get it done, let's go to the next person. But it's not like you shouldn't just get to sit in your job for 25 years because no one's that unhappy.
Yeah, I do agree with that. I just don't think it's like the place for the show to say, hey, should this coach be fired or not? I just don't think it's helpful or
relevant. They do in other sports, though. That person's Tanner was right. They do it in other sports.
They do it in the NFL. How much do they do it in college football? Even college football, like, it's maybe only the bluest. Power 5
quite a bit.
Power 5, but Power 5 at the local level, probably. This is a national show. How many times on SportsCenter are you hearing them say, hey, it's time for whatever the Ohio State football coach to go? It's like, pretty rare, and that's the bluest of the blue bloods. I think – it doesn't happen, okay. Actually. I don't think it actually happens as much as Tanner, I think was his name, is representing.
Yeah, Tanner.
Tanner. I don't think it happens all that much.
And it's a little different for you, Ben, a two-time Hodge Trophy winner, successful wrestling coach. But you can always clap back at, like, Mir Christian with, well, what have you done? It's easy to chirp from the sidelines, yada, 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 which I reply, semi-true.
I try not to put myself in that position too much.
I do think you can be critical and be like, okay, well, if we're grading how you do your job, I don't need to have done your job well to know
you
are not being successful. True, but I just always don't want to be that guy that's
– Well, I don't care. I don't care about that because that would be like an entire basis for me to not even have this job to begin with.
Yeah, but so. I'm saying I try not to be all full tilt into that.
Yeah, but – I would say the difference between you and me is I was the city county coach of the year in 2009. So
that's true.
Maybe you should never get up. I've always got that in my back pocket. So yeah, that's why. That's one of the whys.
I think a lot of the people who call for like us to talk about that too are either frustrated with their team or mad at the success of another team, whatever it be. Yeah, I think calling for a coach to be fired is extreme.
It'd be insane.
It'd be wild for us to do that, in my opinion.
For down performance, I think so. When I get frustrated is when struggling program lets their coach go, and then they just promote up the assistants. It's like, you didn't even or not even that. Not even fire the coach. Struggling program, coach retires, and then you don't even open it up. You're just like, all right, next guy. That bothers me because it's like, all right, you're not even – did you even open it up? Did you make a phone call? Did you see if the best assistants in the coaching – are you using your imagination? Do you have a belief in the potential for your program, or are you just trying to keep this thing moving? That is when I would probably speak up, or if there's something very inappropriate happening. But.
All right. Hey, it's 2:00, and I have 2% left on the battery in my computer.
Wow. Yeah, guy on the grappling team, when his computer runs out of battery, that's when he's done working for the day.
He just goes home.
He's like, oh, a legend. He is a legend.
He's going to – oh, you know him. It's Trey, the guy you did the video with.
Yeah.
What
a legend.
Which is a great video. Check it out.
An AWA products. That's what he's been telling people. It's like, yeah, I train
him. No, we do not claim him.
Listen, you let that guy at Senior Nationals wear that pink AWA shirt. You train him.
No, I didn't let him. He made himself and did whatever he wanted.
He's wearing an AWA sweatshirt. That's one of your guys.
You want me to rip it off him?
If you don't rip it off him, then you are letting him wear it.
You are letting him.
If we're going to be technical here.
Thank you, Tyler.
But it's not my shirt. It wasn't my shirt, though, guys.
Stand for something or fall for anything, Ben.
Yeah. Man, they're just playing the music? Wow. All right. We didn't even get our full 90 in. It's okay. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. 999. We'll see you Thursday for 1,000. It's going to be special. 3 hours. Buckle up.
Baby.
Well, Ben will be here. Ben will
be
here.
Right there.
Wait, what time do you get here tomorrow?
No, I get there on Wednesday.
Right.
I don't know. I'll text you.
Okay. Fine.
I'm glad you guys had that conversation on
We
air.
Do that sometimes. Sometimes we plan the show on the show. It's kind of a fun little behind-the-scenes thing we like to give the people. Thank you to Tyler, JD, Ben, and you for listening. Happy Monday. See you next time. Goodbye. Thank you.